All right, this is Steeler Country. I am your host, Tony, alongside my two co-hosts, Mike and Joe. Guys, the Steelers win. Not only did they win, they shut out the St. Louis Rams. Not a surprising result by any stretch, but always nice to see your defense able to get a shutout. And hey, the Steelers put up 27 points with Charlie Batch at the helm. Joe, I want to go to you first tonight because for, I don't know, how long have we been doing this podcast? 4 or 5 years now? And I think ever since the beginning of the podcast, there's been two main beefs that you've had with the Steelers, right? We never did this podcast during the Bill Cowher era, so this has been the entire Tomlin era that we've been doing this, right? You've had two beefs. Number one, the running game and our ability to run the football. And number two, obviously, the rules / officials. I don't want to talk about rules and officials. We talk about that a lot. But we haven't talked a lot this year about the Steelers' running game. This is a year in which the Steelers have thrown the ball nearly 60% of the time, the most in team history. And that has obviously not sat well with you or Mike. But I have always had the contention that it's not that the Steelers can't run, it's that they choose not to. Here's a game where Charlie Batch has to come in. The Steelers aren't going to throw the ball the normal 40 times. Mendenhall's going to have to take a bigger load. And here we go, 116 yards for Rashard Mendenhall. Do you think that the running game is there, we're just not using it? Have you come around?
No, it probably could be better, you know, than it is. But no, I don't get the idea that this is a team that could run the ball, you know, three times to make a first down when they have to. So, Charlie Batch came in and he, you know, threw for some first down, excuse me. He managed the team well. And I think, you know, to my point last week, I think we would have had a better chance of winning in San Francisco had we played Charlie Batch in San Francisco. And that's not a shot against Ben. It's against Ben, you know, playing injured and not playing well because of his injury. It's one thing to come in after the halftime against Cleveland and, you know, when Charlie Batch looked terrible for the couple of plays that he was in. But Batch came in and ran the team well. The Rams knew that we wanted to run more than we normally would. And he was able to complete some passes and convert first downs and put up points. So, to your question about the running game, it's always going to be a beef of mine. I don't think in the Ben Roethlisberger era, we're ever going to go back to, you know, beefing up the offensive line and pounding the ball. It's kind of a shame because they're squandering the Roethlisberger years, because it's.
What?
I think it's a squandering of the years. Look, the Steelers are their history is to be a tough football team. And, you know, during the Jerome Bettis years, you know, we always had a tough defense. We were a tough offense. You know, and that goes back to, you know, as long as I can remember. Because we didn't have a Ben Roethlisberger that could deliver when we needed it. Ben can deliver when we need it, but it's better to run, and then pass once in a while and strike quickly and furiously, rather than, you know, throw, and then let's, you know, put a run in there for, you know, it's just meaningless at that point. So, you know, I don't know if I said anything new there. I don't think I did.
I just want to gauge your feeling on, you know, obviously the Steelers are going to run less because they have it's becoming a passing league and the Steelers have a quarterback that can execute in a passing league. Mike, I want to go to you. What's your general thought right now about the Steeler running game in general?
I think the Steelers' running game is mediocre. I think it could be better if they committed to it, but I agree with you. I don't think they choose to commit to it. They want to be this big-time passing team with big plays and big chunks. I mean, that's what their priority is to be more of the passing team, the five wide, and that's what they're built for with all the wide receivers and Ben. So I just don't think that they choose to, you know, be that committed to the run or have it high on their priority list. I think if they did, though, it'd be better. I don't know if it'd be, you know, top 10 in the league, But I don't know. That's what they're built for. I agree with Joe, though. I mean, and that's not a surprise either, that I wish that they'd be more of a balanced team, or maybe more tougher with the run. And it's just more – I don't know if it's more fun, but it's like – it's old-time football when you can – you know, you can just put your will on a team.
Yeah.
What word for that? What am I trying to say? Just
impose
basically
your will.
Impose your will. Thank you. On a team, and just run on them when they know you're going to run on them, and they can't stop you. And then every now and then you pop in play action pass, or even, you know, if you need to go 2-minute drill and go five wide for a series, you can do it because you got a guy like Ben and the receivers. But it just seems more. And that, you know, and they've kind of shown that they can run if they commit to it for a game like they did. And right. Mendenhall, because Mendenhall had enough carries where what happened? He popped one for, what, 30, 35 50, yards?
50. He popped one for 50.
Yeah, and then he's over 100. But he's not going to pop one for 50 when he gets 12 carries a game.
Right.
Or just really sporadic.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question for you, Joe. Don't you think isn't it reassuring to you to know that if Ben Roethlisberger is out of the lineup, Charlie Batch is coming? Now, granted, we're playing St. Louis, a bottom-of-the-barrel team, but regardless of that, right? Isn't it reassuring to you that we have an offensive line and we have a running back? And actually, not just one running back. I think we have, you know, we have not only Mendenhall, Redmond, but then behind him is Dwyer, who played really well. Moldy Moore is always in there, who's been running the ball pretty hard this year. And I know I give him a lot of crap, but I give him a lot of credit for what he's done this year. And now this new guy, Clay, who comes in for one carry and gets 10 yards and a touchdown. Isn't it reassuring to you to know that this is always there just in case? I mean, if we ever want to pull out this bag of tricks, right? We have it in our back pocket.
I mean, honest to God, sometimes I think you live in the twilight zone because, you know, at the end of games, when we need to convert third downs to not allow the other team to have the ball, a lot of times we have to pass for it. A lot of times we don't get it because we can't run three times and convert. So I don't understand what you mean. Isn't it reassuring to have this in your bag of tricks?
Right.
We have nothing in our bag of tricks.
Well, I don't.
We can't run the ball three times and make a first down.
I think
you can't impose your will, like Mike just said. And here's what's wrong with this running game. Here's why this running game is not Joe's running game. If you want me to answer your question, I'll finish and then I'll be quiet. A guy running the ball 25 times so that we hope he gets a 50 yarder. He busts one for 50 yards. That's not a running game. You might as well throw the ball for 50 yards. What you want to do is run the ball 10 times in a 15-play drive, okay, and average 4 or 5 yards a carry and possess the ball for 8.5 minutes of a quarter and then end it on with a touchdown, jamming it into the, you know, from the 10 to the 7 to the 3 to the goal line. That's a running game. That's what I dream of.
Okay, so, right, and that's what I'm trying to ask you is, okay, I understand that situationally, right, the Steelers have trouble running the football, right? And I think we've talked about that earlier this season about why that is, and I think a lot of it goes to the fact that at the end of the day, it's the Steeler defense, not the Steeler offense, that prevents the Steelers running game from being successful, right? Because the Steelers defense is so dominant, it's about maximizing the number of possessions that you get offensively. If you're an opposing team against the Steelers, you want to maximize the number of possessions that you get. In order to do that, you need to stop the Steelers from running the football, right? Get them to throw, get them to go 3 and out, you know, go that way. And then that way you get more chances against the Steeler defense. We talked about that earlier, but so I understand situationally, you know, that's going to be rough on them. But what I mean is if the Steelers come out in a game where they say, look, our game plan this game is going to be to run the football, right? Not, I need to get, you know, 3rd and 1. 3rd and 1 is its own problem, and I agree with you. They have a lot of work to do in that area. But as far as, you know, I don't have a quarterback this game. Sorry, we're going to have Charlie Batch, so I'm going to have to rely more on Rashard Mendenhall. It's not – the running game – what I'm trying to say is the running game is not a lost cause, right? It's just – it's on the – obviously for the Steelers, it's on the back burner.
Yeah, look, I told you I thought they could beat a playoff-bound, you know, possibly number 2 seed, albeit – probably one of the most overrated number 2 seeds in history. Nonetheless, I thought they could have beaten the number 2 seed on the road with Charlie Batch and that, you know, conservative, offense. Mm-hmm. And I still think that. I still think that to this moment. I think the Steelers could win some playoff games that way. If they had to, yes.
We're gonna get into that later. That's interesting.
But not championships. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm not satisfied with the running game. I'm never going to be satisfied with this running game. Now, that being said, the game itself, rather than focusing on what I don't like, I was very impressed with the team, being able to rally around Charlie Batch to up its running game, which it definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie was able to, he was very good at quarterback. I thought he was better than he looked, when he came in against, Cleveland. And then the defense, all right, it was a shutout, but there were two missed field goals that should have been made. And even so, if they giving up two field goals in any game is that's great defense. And giving up two missed field goals is even better.
I don't know whether one of them was 52 yards. So,
That was ill-advised.
Right. Yeah. Mike, you want to talk? Do you have anything more on the offense, or you want to go to the defense, or give me your thoughts?
No thoughts right now on the offense. No additional thoughts.
Yeah. I just want to say real quick. I thought, I thought the wide receivers, were I in this game, and nobody really broke out as far as, any of the wide receivers. I do want to say that it was fun at the end of the game. The game was obviously over, and they were just trying to get the ball to Hines Ward at the end there. I thought that was a nice touch, trying to get him closer and closer to 10,000.
1,000. That was my mistake. 10,000.
10,000.
It just seems like Hines Ward
10,000 catches
caught a 10,000 catches,
yeah,
and run for over people for 100,000 yards. But it's not. It's really
he fun. Probably has close to 10,000 yards.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder.
Yeah, if he averages 10 yards a catch. Yeah,
I wonder.
So. He might be over 10,000 yards.
Yeah, he may be over.
Joe, I want to talk to you about. He's got 12,000 yards. Yeah. I want to talk to you about the defense. And I want to start this conversation about the defense quoting Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, so
Jim Harbaugh,
Harbaugh's take on the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Mm-hmm.
So we just lost to San Francisco, right? Again, we gave up 20 points, a lot of that, off of turnovers. And so Jim Harbaugh, on his weekly press conference, says that he's been, in looking at the tapes, he thinks that after game planning for Seattle, that Seattle's defense is actually better than Pittsburgh's defense.
Well, they played them better.
They played
in Seattle. I mean, Seattle played San Francisco tougher than the Steelers did. It was a bigger challenge.
It was 19-17.
The Steelers didn't play, man. The Steelers ran. They passed through the 49ers defense and then failed to score. So they never put any pressure on.
But just defensively speaking, what's your gut feeling right now on the Steelers?
I mean,
they
played well. Their offense was able to move the ball on the Steelers. And they did it at key moments in the game. Mike pointed out on the last podcast how the Steelers finally put up a meager field goal because we couldn't sniff the damn end zones. Okay. And then immediately the defense gave up a touchdown
right,
on all this misdirection BS. Okay, so we were over pursuing and we were undisciplined and, yada, yada, yada. And I chalk it up to, a bad day at the office. Okay. Jim Harbaugh can say whatever he wants to say to make himself feel better. God help him if he manages to get through the NFC, playoff gauntlet, which is very unlikely. They got to be 1,000-1 odds against them. But if they do, and they happen to run into the Steelers in the Super Bowl, it ain't going to be anything like the lights going out in San Francisco. Okay, it's just not going to be anything like that. What's that guy's his quarterback Alex Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man, are you kidding me? That dude is going to run through the Steelers like he did that night. We've watched the Steelers, play defense. I don't know what the hell they were up to there. but it wasn't Steeler defense.
So this was a defense.
So I'll give them this. Seattle probably did play better defense than the Steelers did that particular night. So I'm not going to criticize the guy for saying that.
No, no, he's saying in game planning, looking at tape of both defenses, Seattle has a better defense overall than Pittsburgh does.
Okay, well, knock yourself out with that, Jim.
Mike, your thoughts on Harbaugh's comments?
Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, but I really like Joe's reply. Just whatever, dude. You know, instead of getting into it, just whatever.
Yeah.
You can have the Seahawks defense.
So the Steelers shut him out this week. And Joe, I know you said that this was not, you know, this is not a dominating, performance, but, you know, what I was saying to your reply was, you know, that's true. I mean, this Steeler defense is not, you know, this is not Blitzburg, right? This is not the 2008, wow, they're so dominant, so fun to watch, right? They're like, this Steeler defense is like the worker that just, you know, they show up on time and they leave on time and they get their job done and that's it. It's ho-hum, you know, but at the end of the day, the results are there. You're just not they're just not flashy in doing so.
You know, I put my finger on this whole thing. You're going to hate this because it goes two levels deep. So stay with me.
I'm going to stop.
Everybody buckle your seatbelts for this one because this has perplexed me all year. The Steelers have a good defense. I know they have a good defense. As a matter of fact, in this game, in the Rams game, there was a stat that went up, and it was 2007, 2008, where the Steelers, all the way to present day, mm-hmm. where the Steelers ranked in overall defense at the conclusion of the season and right. through, you know, last week, right. this current game this year.
Yeah.
Never ranked lower than fifth.
Right.
And the fifth, anyone could guess in the last 5 years, was the 2009 season.
Yeah, in which Palomalo said I'd have
to. All the other ones, four out of the last five, were one or two.
Right.
One or two. Right. And this year we're one, right. overall defense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was total defense, yards total against. Defense.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm ready to like, my head's ready to explode. I'm like, this what I'm watching can't be the best defense in football. It can't. But it is. Okay? And so at first I was thinking, well, you know what it is? This defense is not that exciting. It's not like you mentioned Blitzburg. We had, you know, Lloyd and Kevin Green meet me at the quarterback, Bill Cowher,
right.
you know, giving a Cowher shower going, telling Lloyd, rush the quarterback, yeah, right? Get where you can rush the quarterback, okay? We mm-hmm. had this steel curtain. We had mm-hmm. mean Joe Green. We had Jack Lambert, Count Dracula in cleats. We had great defense and we had great characters on defense.
Right.
And they played their hearts out. We had Bullethead, Donnie Shell and Bullethead, Mel Blunt, all right, and our cornerbacks hit like linebackers in the league, right? And we had Rod Woodson, who was you know, always daring a receiver to try to make a move on him so he could cut in front of the freaking pattern and take one the other way, which he did seven or eight times in his career and held the record, shared the record with Deion Sanders for a while. So I said, well, you know, this defense doesn't have that, but you know. It did have it for a while. Palomalu was a pretty exciting player, right? Mm-hmm. And so was, and this is where I'm going to the next level now.
Mm-hmm.
So was James Harrison. He was an exciting player. He could hit. He was the Jack Lambert of this team. He was the Greg Lloyd of this team. He was a Dick Butkus. He was the badass linebacker of the NFL. Okay. And he has been castrated by this disgusting NFL and their garbage.
I knew this was coming.
Okay.
You know, Mike, I thought he was going to say as well, him and Woodley haven't been able to play together all year.
Nope.
I thought, oh, you know, that's a really good
point. Wow. I'm not going to cry. Oh, wow. They can't play again. No, this man is suspended. He's the only player in history suspended for a hit,
right.
for a tackle.
Right.
Okay. Get over it. You can't play that kind of defense anymore.
Hey, Joe, I'm agreeing with Joe a little bit here. I'm agreeing with him, and I'll tell you why. Because you're right. I mean, the Steelers are known to be badass defense intimidators, right?
Right.
Over the years, with Lambert and Ham and Joe Green, they were. And then come in the 90s, it was Lloyd and Kevin Green and, I don't know, a couple other guys in there too, probably Kirkland. Who's in the backfield? Woodson and Lake. Okay. So now, yeah, we have this team with Harrison and Palomalu and Ryan Clark delivering big hits, but they're not allowed to make the big hits anymore. It's illegal. You know, they're not allowed to be these intimidators. And you know what? If these same rules applied in the 90s, Greg Lloyd would be suspended. He'd be the first one to be suspended. If they applied in the 70s, Joe Green would be out. Jack Lambert would be out.
Right, but how do you square that with our inability to get a pass rush? Like, we're not scared to hit a quarterback. We just can't get there.
Well, maybe we're afraid to intimidate them. Maybe we're afraid to hit them. Maybe we are getting kind of close, and after they deliver the ball, we're not hitting them the way we used to, you know, to rattle them a little bit. I don't know.
Right, but our sacks are down this year a lot. Right?
Well, that probably has to do with injuries.
Yeah, with Woodley and Harris.
Okay, with starters not playing, with teams, you know, ready for our schemes, etc.
Right.
Okay, but when we're asking the question, what's wrong with it? Why don't I like this defense?
I'll tell you why.
Because it's not as exciting.
I'll tell you why it's not as exciting.
All right.
Okay, so for a long time, I can't even remember, since Rod Woodson, really, Steeler fans have asked for one thing, right? I want secondary. Why do we have to live with Dwayne Washington and Chad Scott? Why do I got to live with, you know? I mean, Dwayne Washington, Chad Scott was 8 solid years of crap at corner, right? And then we had to deal with the and I don't want to crap on Brian McFadden, but look, Brian McFadden's not a dominator out there, right? You know, and then we have like the Willie Williams and all these crappy corners, right? And all Steeler fans,
crappy. That's not very nice. Say just serviceable, you know? They weren't stars.
They were average.
These are below average.
They were
average. Right. Average would have helped us a lot.
They were forever loved, but too often burned.
Here's the problem. What Steeler fans are coming to realize is having a really good pass defense, it's kind of boring. A quarterback drops back to pass, he can't find anyone open, he overthrows someone, or he can't hit, or they have to dump it down to a running back out of the backfield. It's boring. It's a boring defensive style. We're not what we've gone from, right? So the old slow it's over thing has like a just a speck of merit to it, right? I think that there are definitely pieces of this team that got older and slower, and it's over for them, right? I think Casey Hampton is in the twilight of his career. So is James Ferrier, right?
These guys are 14-year guys.
They have played admirably this year, and they have helped this team out. Without them, we would be a much worse defense. I don't want to say that, right? But certainly the run defense has taken, you know, for the Steelers, a pretty significant step out.
Not as dominating.
Right. We were the best run defense ever last year. This year, we're 40 yards a game worse. 40. That's a lot. I mean, we're only fifth. We're like somewhere between fifth and eighth best in the league, which is not bad. But when you look at what we were doing last year, it's a huge step backwards. So we're not a dominating run defense. We can get run on a little bit, which is why the defense feels bad at times, because you don't like giving up 5 yards on first down in a running play. But then when it's third and seven and they just throw an incomplete pass, and it's not a sack, right, because we're not getting any pressure on the quarterback, it's boring. But it's good, but it's just boring, right?
Do you think that we're putting a priority on the pass defense instead of the run defense, just like I said earlier on the, you know, passing offense versus the running offense?
I think that what happened to Dick LeBeau last season, he, you know, this is a guy who went, you know, and blueprinted a defense that is made solely to stop the pass. And look, we do different things different weeks, and I know you guys got a lot frustrated with the way that he game planned against San Francisco. But remember, they didn't have a lot of success. San Francisco didn't have a lot of success moving the ball, right? They had a lot of success, you know, getting to midfield, but then it was, you know, get lights out from them from there. So you're saying
this is a reaction from the Super Bowl?
This is a reaction to the Super Bowl, a reaction to the trend in the league of, you know, this is a star quarterback league now. And you got 10.
I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. It's like, okay, what's the point of the best run-stopping defense in the league today? That's not much of a point. The best teams don't even want to run the ball.
Right.
So what's so great about stopping the run against the Patriots or the Packers or the Saints? Who cares? You got to stop the pass.
Exactly.
So it makes sense.
So our Achilles heel was the Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Our Achilles heel this year isn't the Hall of Fame quarterback anymore. We faced down Tom Brady and dominated him. The problem is we get run on a little bit.
No, that's not a problem.
No. But it's
It's not, because like you said, who wants to run? Nobody even cares about running.
Well, the Ray Rices of the world have had some success on us.
Let me ask you this. How many, against the Rams, how many rushing yards do you think they got without looking at the stats?
I mean, I looked it up. I know.
Yeah, so you don't answer.
I'll tell you this. It didn't feel like 100 when I watched it.
Yeah, but it wasn't 100. You know what it was? 164.
Yeah.
We gave up 164 yards on the ground. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, they got Steven Jackson.
But it didn't feel like it.
Steven Jackson
he had a good game.
Eyes over some.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely got a push off the ball, and he was able to fight through tackles.
But I tend to think also that we didn't care. Like, we may have been in, like, pass defenses, and, okay, you got 8 yards. Big deal. We're going to dish on the next set of downs, because there's no way you're going to get another first down.
Without looking, how many passing yards do you think we gave up?
Yeah, I know.
I knew we were doing really well against Clemens, but under 100 yards?
68 yards. That's amazing.
Yeah, 68. I mean, that includes the sacks. It's 91 without the sacks, but holy cow. That's incredible. And that's why going into the playoffs, you know, when they talk about, look at these high flying offenses, look at what Tom Brady's doing out there, look at what Drew Brees is doing out there, look at what, Aaron Rodgers is doing out there. I don't get afraid of, you know, watching the Steelers get blown out in the Super Bowl, because I don't think that's going to happen. I'm excited to see what this defense will do against the Aaron Rodgers or the Drew Brees or the Tom Brady or, you know, any of these guys who are putting up these crazy numbers this year.
So are you worried at all about a team like Denver that wants to run the ball?
Am I worried about Tim Tebow? I am not worried about
Tim. I didn't say Tim Tebow. I said Denver.
Right. Well, am I worried? Okay. Am I worried about facing? Well, let's put it this way. Am I worried about facing Houston? Right. Because there's a team that's just going to run on you. They can't. You know, T.J. Yates is not going to have.
They got the offensive line and the backs.
Right, yeah. And they have a good defense, so they can play you tight and they can run the football.
And they did it to us already. Very early in the season.
That's a team that we can lose to. Right? I think that's a team. I think Houston, we could lose to Houston. I don't know that we can lose to New England. We would have to turn the ball over a lot. I don't know that we can lose to, I mean, we could lose to Baltimore again, but only because they play us so well. I mean, the matchups favor them more than they do us. But you know, I mean, teams like San Francisco, Houston, you know, they can play us tough. And if we turn the ball over, we give them a short field and put our defense in a bad spot. Yeah, we can easily lose to those teams who can limit our possessions offensively. But the New Orleans, the New England, the Green Bays, you know, bring them on to me. That's how I feel.
I think the most hopeful thing about this whole season, about this particular Steelers team, is the turnover stat. The Steelers are like minus 13 for the year.
Yeah, I'm gonna look this up. I'm gonna look this up because
it may have been worse than that.
I think it's a lot worse than that.
It was worse. I think that's the number now, but that has not really corrected itself. Law of averages hasn't caught up with us.
Nope.
Steelers—they've only lost four games. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You lose the turnover ratio. You're generally a losing team.
Definitely.
I bet you it's in the 90 percentile.
Yeah, we're at minus 8. Okay, the teams worse than us are Indianapolis, who has 2 wins, Denver, who's a bit of an outlier because they did a lot of they don't turn the ball over now. They turn the ball over a lot when Orton was the quarterback and Tebow has kind of righted that ship. The other teams worse: Arizona, losing record, Philadelphia, losing record, Tampa Bay, very losing record, and same thing with Washington, who's the worst team when it comes to turnovers. The best teams in the league, you'll be surprised to note, are San Francisco, Green Bay, Detroit, and in the AFC, it's New England and Houston. So you can see, I mean, teams that don't turn the ball over and get turnovers win football games, right? Teams that turn the ball over and don't get turnovers lose. But somehow the Steelers this season have been able to turn the ball over a lot, not get turnovers pretty much at all, right? And still find ways to win games. And that goes back, I think, to the heart thing that we've talked a lot on this podcast about.
And winning ugly.
Winning ugly.
You know, and I mean, when you look back at the season, we've said it on the podcast. I mean, it didn't seem like that great of a season. But in the end, I mean, this team might end up 12-4. You tell me 12-4 at the beginning of the season, I'm going to say I'll take that every single time.
I mean, really, you know? That's, you know, 79 Steelers were 12-4.
So yeah.
They were considered the best team in the NFL that year, the whole season.
I mean, does this seem like a 12-4 team? the way they played this whole season?
It doesn't behave like one when you see it on the field because it plays such sloppy ball. But the fact that they come out with all these wins, and then when you examine this, okay, 12-4 and we're at the bottom of the turnover ratio, and all of the competition in the playoffs is going to be at the top of the turnover ratio. So how does, if you just go down the list, how does San Francisco respond to, a -2 or -3 in turnovers?
They lose.
They're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they lose.
Period. End of story.
Right.
How does Green Bay react to that? Well, I think they have a chance of winning, but not much.
They have a very bad defense.
Their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions, we've seen it. They lose the turnover battle. They're out.
Right.
New England, most likely the same thing. They have a shot, but not much of a shot.
Right.
Houston in their present state, forget it. If they lose a turnover battle, they're out. They're going to be eliminated immediately.
Right. But now the turnovers are not only luck. I mean, throughout the season we say law of averages is going to balance out. Well, when it doesn't balance out, or when you get to the end of the season and you're whatever, +15 or you're -8, that's who you are. So you're creating them, or you're causing them, you're turning the ball over, or you're not creating them.
But the point that I know Joe's made a lot in the past is you can't count on them. If you're a team that counts on turnovers, if you're a team that wins because you create so many turnovers and get so many free points, you can't count on winning the turnover battle in every playoff game.
That's true, but it's likely to happen for you. But I do understand what you're saying is that the day it doesn't happen, you're probably screwed.
Yeah.
But just proved the whole season, that you're going to rely – and not that you – it's something you can count on.
It's one thing to strip sack the quarterback. It's another thing that the ball rolls right to your guy – or rolls right to their guy. Okay. That's luck. Okay. And that happens for some teams. The Steelers were getting to guys and the other team was putting a ball on the ground. They were recovering it or it'd roll out of bounds or, something like that. That's why I say you can't count on this. This goes back to, there was some Bengals team. I don't remember the year.
2005.
2005 Bengals. Man, I don't forget anything, do I? Holy crap, 2005. That is, count them up, 7 years ago. The Bengals were like plus I forget how many halfway through the season.
Now, I remember this too. Yeah, they had a
– and we won the Super Bowl that year. Oh, that's right. And we eliminated them in the playoffs. And I kept saying the whole year is these guys are winning on turnovers. That's going to catch up with them in the playoffs. Ain't going to work for them. And they were – what were they, 25?
25
plus. 25 for the season, eliminated by the sixth seed division rival Steelers in 2005. I don't know what the turnovers were in that game. Same thing with the Chicago Bears. This is going back even further than 2005. Chicago Bears, every little tip, bounce, whatever. These guys were getting turnovers.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Was it Lovie Smith's first year or Dave Wanstead? No, it was Dick Geron, when Dick Geron was the coach of the Bears. Every tip was landing in a Bear's pocket. They didn't have to catch the damn ball. Okay? And I said, this ain't going to last. Then the next season, they got a losing season going. Dick Geron's getting fired. Everybody's going, what happened?
And that part I agree with. But sometimes when it's just – that's the magic of that season, it can carry you through the playoffs. I do know what you mean by, you can't – you're living by the turnover and, sooner or later the clock's going to strike midnight. But, hey – if it's working the whole season and it doesn't strike midnight in the playoffs, it's just going to be that. It's going to be a magic season for you. And I agree, though, the next year, it's probably not going to happen again.
Well, I think for Tom Brady and the Patriots, you can say, look, they are what they are. They can lose the turnover battle and still win. They're going to lose because of their defense. Okay? Somebody's going to be able to slow their offense down enough and hold the ball, keep it away from Brady long enough to beat them in the playoffs. The Packers, this guy Rodgers is throwing the ball 50, 60 times a game, and he's not throwing interceptions.
They run the ball more than anything.
And he puts it up a lot, and he puts it on the money every time. It's amazing. Sooner or later, that's got to – you can't just continue to throw the ball that many times and never throw a freaking interception. There's very few guys that can do that.
That's amazing. What has he got, 40-something touchdowns and 6 interceptions?
I mean, it's just, you know, it's out of this world. So, I mean, there's going to be a time when that slows down. All the rest of the teams, the San Franciscos, the Houstons, what do these guys do to win games? They get turnovers. That's how they win games.
Next that's not
year,
the only thing.
When they don't get turnovers, they're not going to win.
Well, that could be true. Hey, let me throw this stat out at you. The Green Bay Packers give up more yards than they gain, and they're 14-1.
Yeah.
Did I hear that stat correctly this weekend?
Yeah, well, because they create so many turnovers.
And what? They get a short field?
Yeah, they get short field. Well, or they stop. They, you know, they stop the other team from.
Oh, I see. The other team goes 99 yards, doesn't score.
It doesn't score, right.
Teams don't play their game against the Packers. They come out and go, oh, my God, we got to score all every possession.
Right.
I mean, I know part of that.
You remember there was a team a while back who, like, you know, teams would, like, onside kick. After, you know, be like 7-0, they're winning. Not, you know, maybe with 2007 Patriots. But their offense was so good, you didn't want to have the ball at all. So you'd onside kick early in games because, like, you know, we cannot be this far behind. Or we can't be behind at all.
I think who did that against the Colts? I think Tennessee did that against the Colts late in the season.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But I think that I think a lot of the yards is, you know, the Packers get a 21-point lead and then they're just giving up easy yards. So that's a lot of it. But still, to give up more yards and be 14-1, I don't know. I don't know if. I think that diminishes a little bit of how good the Steeler defense is, meaning being ranked number one against the yards. Does that really mean anything?
Or so I want yards against. Would you guys mind if I got into some kind of, you know how like in baseball they have like the advanced metrics or the saber metrics, right? In baseball?
No, I don't follow baseball.
So baseball has
largely, you know, because of all that.
They have all that.
So yeah, you go right ahead and knock yourself out with these baseball style stats.
Yeah, there's like baseball style stats for football, right? And Football Outsiders is a footballoutsiders.com, great website for if you're a stat geek, if you like to get into like the stats and stuff like that. Football Outsiders is a great resource.
You know, I was just saying, I wish they would make football even more like baseball. Like in the playoffs, they're going to kind of do the fair ups thing,
right?
And so now you're going to bring the baseball style stats.
Yeah. So I want to.
What could I wish for?
I want to bring in a stat that they the stat that they've created and they've used to become very popular among, you know, football geeks, right? It's called the DVOA, and it stands for defense adjusted value over average, right? Yeah. We're
defensive adjusted value over average.
Yeah. Defense adjusted value over average, right?
Is that divided by a standard deviation?
So the DVOA breaks down the entire season play by play, comparing success on each play to the league average based on a number of variables, including down, distance, location on the field, current score gap, quarter, and opponent quality, right?
That's all factored in.
That's all factored in.
How they did on this one play against the average of what a team does on one play.
Yes, exactly.
And that's
hysterical right now.
And that is,
but I have a point. I have a point. Okay, I'm sorry.
But is the average on 2nd and 7 different than the average on 1st and 10?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. I'm just seeing if their average goes with the situation. Okay, it does.
Right.
So go ahead.
So again, this is measured against who you're playing, right? So you should. So what they're saying is, you know.
So for instance, if there's like 1:30 to go, and you have a 14-point lead, and you give up a 15-yard pass. That doesn't count as much as a 15-yard pass in the first quarter.
Here,
right?
I
kind of got that in a nutshell?
Yeah, it says, it says here under their own definition of what the DVOA is and does. It says, while it can be used as a measure of total team performance, it differs from other power ratings found throughout the web because it can be broken down to analyze team effectiveness in any number of ways, down, quarter, rushing versus receiving, location on the field, passes to backs versus passes to receivers, and so on. Right, so they can get pretty.
Could you just tell everybody listening in the podcast now how far to fast forward if they want to not fall?
I'm almost done.
Because my eyes are glazing.
I'm
over
almost done. I'm almost
just listening to you read that. I'm like, oh my God.
Last season, the Steelers were number 2 in DVOA entering the playoffs, behind New England. Right, New England was number 1 in Football Outsiders DVOA. Steelers were number two, right? And I think last year we had largely the same feeling about our team, that we weren't a Super Bowl. It didn't feel like a Super Bowl caliber team. It just kind of turns out that way, right? Well, DVOA said, no, this team could very well challenge for a Super Bowl. This year, right now, even after losing to San Francisco, our weighted DVOA, as in who's playing the best, so what they've done, they've actually taken the DVOA a step further. Now they're weighting it, right, to say not only who is playing the best football this season, which they think is Green Bay. As a season, Green Bay's having the best season. Steelers number two, right? But as far as who's having the best, who's playing the best now, right, over the past X number of games, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. By actually a large margin, the Steelers have a weighted DVOA of 32%, right, which I won't get into the details of what that number means. We'll just say that's a high number. That's what you want. The second place behind us is Green Bay at 24%, right?
Man, I feel good going into the playoffs now. How about you, Joe? Doesn't that give you some comfort right there?
I'm lying. You know what, man? Hopefully we win the division and we get a home game and we could see some of Steeler Nation out there with their DVOA letters in the stands, and maybe they'll even have that 32-point-whatever%. You know, and we could all go, yeah, 32% DVOA! Yeah, all right, Steelers!
All right, there you go. So anyway, footballoutsiders.com.
If you guys It'd be cool if they put that on the screen, you know, like during the game.
Yeah, like
what do you think
each individual play, keep a running thing, you know, three columns for each team.
Sure.
That's right. How about at the end of the game, last game of the season, if we break the all-time record for DVOA, they stop the game and give a game ball to Dick LeBeau.
And you know what else? This is perfect, actually. This is really what the NFL needs, because given all of these super long stoppages so that we can call the NFL lawyers in every time that we have to review a play, right? So they're doing all this review, and then they're getting out the rule book and flipping through page subchapter B, C, D, right? And they're going, okay, well, the ball moved, and it was a Sunday night after a Saturday game, and blah, 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 so that means it's not a catch, okay? So while they're doing all that, then the announcers have something to talk about. They could be talking about DVOA. They could get out a spreadsheet. You know, Excel, they could get Excel, man, put it right up on a screen and start comparing stuff. You know, what if this, what if that? They could do all these little things, right? They could probably superimpose DVOAs, like, on the individual players, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, we belittled that a little bit, but I do appreciate that. I am a stat geek, so I do kind of like that.
I think that there are other team or other listeners out there who would probably, you know, find some usefulness to the DVOA. Footballoutsiders.com, again, great site. All right, let's move on from the DVOA stats and let's talk about the situation at hand. I don't want to talk about the big picture. I want to talk about the small picture. Week 17, the final week of the season now, we enter this week the 5 seed, probably destined to play whoever wins the AFC West. It looks like it could be, it's either going to be Denver or Oakland, probably going to be Denver, right?
Is San Diego out now?
San Diego's out, yeah.
Can I ask a question?
And Kansas City's out.
It's important to me to know this. What time do the Steelers play and what time do the Ravens play?
They play at the exact same time.
And that would be?
4 o'clock Eastern time.
4:15.
Yeah.
On Sunday. 4:15 Eastern time, Sunday.
Yes. So, okay. So let's go over the scenarios. Are you guys gonna glaze over for the playoff scenarios
as well? I'm good.
All right. Good. The Pittsburgh Steelers. If the Steelers lose, they will be the 5 seed no matter what. They cannot drop to the 6 seed. We have the 5 seed locked down. Should we not advance, should we not, you know, be seated higher? If the Steelers were to win and Baltimore wins, then we are the 5 seed, right? But if the Steelers win and Baltimore loses, then we are the 3 seed, or the 2 seed. We have a bye week in the first week of the playoffs with the 2 seed. If the Steelers win, Baltimore loses, and New England loses, then the Steelers can advance to the 1 seed, right?
Woohoo!
Alright, this is where things get crazy now. All right, I'm sorry, but things are going to get a little crazy from here.
Wow, that's everything we got to know.
That's everything that we got to know. Right, well, except for this. The Steelers play at 4 o'clock. So do the Ravens. The Ravens play the Bengals. The Bengals are not clinched for a playoff berth yet. They are in the driver's seat for the 6th seed. If they win, they're in. right? That's good for the Steelers. The Steelers need the Bengals to need to win, beat the Ravens, and get in the playoffs. But there are some hurdles to even that, because there are other games in play for the Bengals to clinch a playoff spot, right? Namely, the Jets. The Jets, if the Jets win, then the Bengals have to win. But if the Jets were to lose, then there is a couple of scenarios there where the Bengals could clinch a playoff spot without winning or losing. You know, they could just
and clinch it before 4 o'clock.
Before 4 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh no.
So they would not have to play the game.
So wait, first of all, let's go to the first obvious question. Who were the Jets playing?
The Jets played the Miami Dolphins in Miami.
So we need the Jets to beat the Dolphins. Nah. Unlikely, but the Dolphins look pretty sorry last week. So,
well, they had the Patriots for a while.
Yeah, but they fell apart.
They fell apart. But I don't know. They looked sorry.
Yeah, they were sorry.
The problem with sorry is more labeled on the Jets than the Dolphins.
Yeah. The Jets.
Well, the Jets are pretty sorry too.
The Jets lost pretty.
So the Jets are playing the Dolphins in Miami at 1 o'clock. Okay.
So let's say now if the Jets win. And the Bengals lose, and then are the Bengals out? The Jets overtake them?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Someone other than the Bengals will make it at that point, yes.
Okay, so if the Bengals lose, they're out. I mean, basically, if the Jets win and the Bengals lose, the Bengals are out.
But the Bengals have this. No matter what, if the Bengals win, then they're in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But let's figure out how they can be in before 4 o'clock.
So they can't be eliminated at 4 o'clock.
No.
They cannot be eliminated.
They clinch if this happens. The Jets lose and the Raiders lose. The Raiders play San Diego.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Then they're in.
And what time's that game?
That's
a 4 o'clock game, though.
Raiders game is at 4.
They got to
play. Wait, they got to play. Hold on. Denver, Kansas City is the other one? They got to play. Never mind. Oh, we solved it right here, guys.
Very good.
Yeah.
So
the Bengals have to play. That's what we just figured out live on the podcast.
So let's just say the worst happens and the Jets lose. So now the Bengals are in. If they lose and Oakland loses, then they're still in.
They're still in, but they could score more.
So they could be playing their butts off, and then it'd be a tough game, but then see, oh, look, San Diego's blowing out the Raiders. We're just shut it down now.
Shut it down the third quarter because San Diego's beating Oakland by 40. Yeah. If the Jets lose.
But if the Jets win, Bengals have to play the whole game.
Yeah. Basically,
unless they just don't care to make the playoffs, which you never really know with the Bengals, right?
You never know. But look, I think the Bengals play Baltimore tough. They played them tough earlier this year.
They have.
They have the kind of team that can beat Baltimore, and Baltimore is playing as bad of football as they've been playing all year. This is
They're
the
so up and
time.
Down.
This is the first time that I've seen them lose a game. Like they lost Tennessee earlier, then they bounced back from that pretty easily. They lost to Jacksonville, they bounced back. They lost to
Joe pointed out.
Lost to Arizona.
They almost lost to Arizona, right? But they were to bounce back. Yeah, they bounced back and they won that game. All right, that's similar to what they're doing.
But that was a big win from Joe because the way they came back, they kind of rallied.
Game against Cleveland that they just had, they tried their very best to choke that away, and the stupid Cleveland guy jumped off sides. He doesn't jump off sides in that game. Like, I'm not going to say Cleveland's going to win that game, but
it gets interesting.
It would get very interesting if you give Cleveland one more shot right there.
Can I make a prediction right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm just going to make a statement. Well, I don't know the name of the Cleveland coach, and don't tell me. Don't tell me because no one needs to know his name. Okay, other than the person that's going to fire him when's Cleveland done playing?
4 o'clock. It's about 7 o'clock. It's all right after our game.
We're playing.
Oh, actually,
I think he's going to shake hands with Tomlin and then
be fired.
And then he should walk to the locker room and they should go, you know what? You just keep walking.
Keep walking.
Because he's the worst coach in the NFL right now. He's the worst coach. He is terrible.
Because of what? Because this guy jumped off sides?
Come on, that whole game. He called a terrible game.
He called a bad game.
Oh, my God. I can't remember all the things. I would have wrote him down. Okay. But that dude. That dude is terrible. That Sperano got fired mid-season, and this dude still has
a job. I can tell you what.
Now, here's a statement. If the Cleveland Browns don't fire this guy, I may laugh the entire offseason at them. Like, I may not be able to say Cleveland Browns and not burst out laughing at what a joke of an organization they are if they don't fire this guy.
Mike, one of the reasons we were so down on this idiot coach is because he's, you know, he's losing to Baltimore, but close, still in the game, and he wastes two of his second half timeouts in the third quarter. I believe on the same drive, too. Two timeouts on the same drive. So they had one timeout at the end of the game, yeah, which is part of the game. That was not a well called game for him. So, what do you think about the Steelers' chances of getting in as the two seed?
Who are the Patriots playing?
They play Buffalo in New England.
And that's a 1 o'clock game.
I'm going to give that zero chance.
Yeah, that's a 1 o'clock game.
I say the Patriots are really
number 100%
number one seed.
Well, let's talk about our chances in relation to what our desire to see Ben Roethlisberger play, right?
Well, I don't want to see Roethlisberger.
Because, so.
I want to see him play the first half.
Yeah, okay, so there's two trains of thought among Steelers fans, right? First one goes like this. Ben Roethlisberger gives us the best chance to win. I know Charlie Batch could probably get it done, but just to make sure, let's put Ben in there and let's get this thing done. And maybe Cincinnati beats Baltimore and maybe New England loses and we get the one seed, right? That's one way. Right. The other way of thinking is this. Look, probably Baltimore's not going to lose to Cincinnati. They're a better team than Cincinnati. They should beat Cincinnati. And getting the five seed isn't that bad anyway because we play Denver or Oakland, two teams that we should easily beat. And so basically, you know, don't play Ben, don't play Woodley, don't play any of the guys that are hurt. Make this another bye week. Make this basically a bye week. Don't play all your starters. This is the bye, because we're probably not going to get the bye week anyway. So make this your bye week. And then go into playoffs and beat the West winner, which is going to be an easy win anyway, and go into, you know, Baltimore, New England, however you got to play from that point forward.
Okay, so, I know what you're saying, but it you know, go tell the other 35 guys that this is a bye week. You know, the guys that got to go out there and work their butts off and play. It's not a bye week for them. They're playing.
But, you know, but for,
so it's not really a bye week.
Right.
But for your stars that are injured and nicked up. But I still go with I'm worried about not necessarily Woodley. I mean, rush the quarterback. I'm worried about Ben being rusty coming out, you know, after not playing for 2 weeks. That's why I'd like to see him play the first half. However, I do think that if you put in Ben for the first half and then you all know, okay, Charlie's going to play the second half and you're struggling in the first half, I think it's harder in the mindset to say, oh, now we're going to start with Charlie and we're down by three and we have to come back and win the game. So, you know, and you might be better off winning the game just playing Charlie the whole time.
But if you play Charlie the whole time, then and we get the two seed or the one seed, that's 3 weeks off for Ben.
I know, he's really gonna be rusty.
you're gonna have a Ben Roethlisberger who you haven't. The last time you saw Ben Roethlisberger, he threw three bad interceptions against San Francisco in a Monday night game that you lost. That's the last memory we're gonna have of Ben Roethlisberger if he doesn't play this week. And we were to clinch that. You know, the bye week.
How did he look the last time he was healthy? Which was before the Cleveland game, or the first quarter. Who was that? What game was that?
Before Cleveland was Cincinnati, the second Cincinnati game.
Well, yeah, that was one of our best games.
Was it the Chiefs game?
Yeah, I think it was the Chiefs.
It could have been Chiefs. It's either one. All right, so Joe, what are you thinking? You're contemplating.
No, I'm saying play Batch. Period.
Whole game.
Take your hurt guys. Let them get the rest they need. Play Batch, win or lose.
So no Woodley.
Game plan it. No Woodley. No,
no
Woodley. How many times are you going to let the guy re-in?
No Pouncey.
No Pouncey. Come on. You want to go another postseason without Pouncey?
I'm just throwing this out here. Palomalu?
No, Palomalu's hurt.
Well, he's been
not hurt.
I mean, he's been in and out. He's been not practicing for half the week, most weeks. So he is hurt.
Yeah,
all right.
So yeah, I'd let him rest. Yeah, Palomalu, he's an animal in his full strength.
So not that you want to say this is a bye week, but for all intents and purposes.
Well, I'm not going to call it a bye week.
Not a bye week, but for the main guys
I'm
who are hurt,
say guys,
all of them sit.
Guys that are hurt, okay, they sit. And the rest of you guys, get your butts out there and win a freaking football game, for God's sakes. It's a goddamn Cleveland Browns, ain't that?
So, yeah, let me ask you this. Okay, so if you don't play all your starters and you're resting them, get that extra bye week, how are you going to feel if the Bengals just happen to pull it off and win by three, and then you're in a tight game with the Browns all up to the end, and you end up losing by three.
I just think, look, it's the Cleveland Browns. They're not a good team. If the Steelers go into Cleveland prepared to play Charlie Batch and company, then those guys will be ready to play and they'll be able to win the game. I think they got a good chance of winning. I don't know that you have to, you know, if you need 20 points to win, you know, do you really have to go in there with enough firepower to score 40 points? You just need to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's what worries me about this game is the idea that, you know, somehow, some way, the Steelers find a way to lose and not win. And you know, obviously, you're going to – if that were to happen, you're going to point to, well, why did we start Charlie Batch? Why wasn't Woodley playing? Why wasn't Palomalu playing? Why wasn't Pouncey playing? You know, yeah, there are good arguments to be made for not playing those guys, but and it's really sound too. I mean, if your team can't beat Cleveland even without those guys, you deserve to make the playoffs. I mean, that's, you know, certainly there's a case to be made there, but to me, it, you know, this team, what this team can and can't do without Ben, without Pouncey, without Palomalu, without Woodley, doesn't matter to me. You know, what this team can do with those guys is what matters. And winning this game is the first step in the playoff run. This is a must-win game. This is every bit as must-win as Cincinnati's game against Baltimore to me. It's extremely important to us, or to me, to give us a chance at least the 2 seed and maybe even the 1 seed.
No, it's not. It's not as important as Cincinnati's game, and Baltimore's game is not as important as Cincinnati's game. Cincinnati's game is important because it is a playoff game for them. If they don't win, their season ends. If Baltimore doesn't win, they're in the playoffs. If the Steelers don't win, we're in the playoffs. So, no. And you know what? Baltimore winning is more important than Steelers winning because Baltimore wins, they secure the 2 seed. Steelers win, maybe nothing happens.
Yeah. You know, and I think you guys have kind of convinced me on this because one thing is I said, you know what, play Ben so he's sharp going into the playoffs. But there's a chance that then he's still hurt.
Okay, or he re-injures.
So, yeah, or re-injures, that's right. And then you have no chance. But if you rest him, then he's definitely not going to be injured. He's going to be healthy. Same with these other guys. And, okay, there's a chance that they won't be sharp, but guess what? There's a chance they will be sharp.
Right.
Or there's a chance that they're, rusty for half a quarter or something like that. So I think you're better off being healthy, especially this team, an experienced team, go into the playoffs, whether you're the 5 seed, the 3 seed, the 2 seed, doesn't matter. You take this team with this experience. They've been through it before. And when they are healthy, offense and defense, when they have all their guys, they can play with anybody, and they basically can be in any game and win any game at any time. So I think that's what you want to set yourself up for. And here's the last thing on that note, is that if you go into the game, and I kind of said this before, but I'll just quickly say it again here. If you go into the game with Ben playing half the game, and then, you know, Bash is going to play the second half, it's just not a good mindset. If you go into the game knowing Bash is going to play the whole game, everybody knows what they have to do. Everyone knows they have to just take it up a notch, and it could be on them to make a play to win this game. It's just I think you just know what you're getting into, and you have more chance of winning a game like that.
I totally agree with that. That's my stance. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Well, you agree because I just said I was agreeing with you. So, of course, you agree.
You agree with yourself.
At least, right? I didn't change my mind.
That's true. I will change my mind a lot.
Tempting to change my mind
just to disagree with me.
You know, I'm looking further at these Football Outsider stats here, and this is a very interesting stat here. They rate offensive lines as well, and we can get into how they do that, but I won't bore you with the details. I'll just say that as far as run blocking goes,
why bore me with the details when you can just bore me with the facts?
Sure. Their rankings for run blocking and what they call adjusted line yards has the Steelers they have the Steelers as the third best run blocking offensive line in football, behind New Orleans and New England, and right in front of Houston, who I believe is statistically the best running team in football as far as yards go.
That's some wacky stats.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. The Steelers rank.
Oh, it's going to get interesting?
The Steelers rank.
Oh, hey, wait. I didn't know interesting was part of them.
Right, because this is where I think it does get interesting.
Let me sit on the edge of my seat
for you two. The Steelers rank 3 in total offensive line, but as far as power running, their power success is only 55%, making them 26th in the league in power running.
Now, does that – oh, go ahead.
They are stuffed 21% of the time, higher than anyone in the top 10.
So does that include a 3rd and 1 when we go 5 wide and pass it?
That does not include 3rd and 1 when we go 5 wide. Our stuffed ranking, running runs that get stuffed, is ranked 23rd in the league. You know, somehow we managed to be 3rd best in the league.
Wow. You know, I was surprised that the Patriots had 2 offensive linemen, 2 guards. Their 2 guards made the Pro Bowl as starters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
the Pro Bowl real quick before we get out of here. I think there's too many Patriots, there's too many 49ers in the it's ridiculous.
That's a nice blanket statement.
8 of each? It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
No, I think that's perfect. Because it proves what I know. Okay, and I like it to manifest itself somehow so that I have something to point to and say, you see, this is what I got in my gut and I know it's right, okay? And you ask me for tangible examples. That's it. Are you serious? The Patriots have 8 Pro Bowl. The San Francisco, I mix them up. San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, kind of the same team. Okay. As far as personality wise and what I think of them. Okay. And one of them has 8 in the Pro Bowl. And I believe Kansas City has 0. Kansas City has 0.
Kansas City
have 1.
No, I think they have at least 1.
Okay. So anyway, and this just proves that the media is in love with these guys, okay? And if you're going to tell me that it's the fans that vote, this is what they plaster. This is what they feed you constantly.
You know who votes for this, right?
Anything. Who votes for this?
You don't know how the vote – okay, so it's 30% is the fans, right. 30% coaches.
Who are totally influenced by the media.
30% coaches, 30% players. All right, Mike, are there – well, who do you think of the Steelers should have made it? Like, if regardless of who made it, in your eyes, which Steelers this year are deserving of a Pro Bowl ballot or a Pro Bowl spot?
I'd definitely say Ben. You know, based on the other quarterbacks in the AFC, so and he made it, right?
Yep.
And I know Marquise Pouncey made it, and I don't study every center in the league, but I think it's good he made it.
Yep.
I like that one. I think Mike Wallace deserved to make it. Just he started off with a monster year, and he was like 3rd in receiving in the league at one point. I don't know where he is right now, but he had an 80-yard game last game. So I think it's good that he made it. And he kind of made it just because he's been taking it up a level. This is his 3rd year, so he's continued to go up a notch. So I think that counts for something.
Yep.
And who else on offense? I think that would be it on offense that I could think of that should make it. Leaving out Antonio Brown, he kind of came on at the end of the season, and he's not going to get the votes yet because he's the new guy. Next year, has same season, be just like Wallace, he'll get the votes. Yeah. On defense, I think Harrison should have made it, and I understand he did not make it. Is that true?
Harrison made it as an alternate.
Okay. So that means he did not make it, but if someone drops out, then he could go in.
Yeah. Okay. He's a first alternate, and then – well, go ahead.
Okay. So I think that he should have made it. Woodley should have made it.
He's a second alternate.
Really? Because I didn't look at the defense yet. And, you know, Polamalu, just on history, I wouldn't say he had, you know, a great Polamalu year, but I know he did make it.
Yep.
And Ike Taylor should have made it. I think he should have made it. And he did not make it. Is that right?
That's right. He didn't even make it as an alternate.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And it's probably because how many interceptions did he have?
None. One or two.
Yeah, 2, I think. 2,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably why.
Back week interception.
That's right. Joe,
and I understand Antonio Brown made it as a special teamer, which is great. I think that's good. Just get him out there.
But are there any Steelers that you think deserved special recognition this year for their play?
I will save that for the
who am I missing?
for what really matters, not the Pro Bowl, but our end of season review podcast, where we decide on the offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and overall player of the year.
Uh-huh.
And the season is not over yet, so I will base my assessment on the full body of work.
When do we do that? Do we do that after week 17?
We do it after the end of the Steelers season.
So whenever that is.
Okay. It is sudden death.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't want to take your thunder, you know, in the weeks to come. So, Tony, you can edit this out. But do you want to say anything about the fake punt this past weekend? Or do you want to save that?
You don't remember the fake punt?
Oh, where we got surprised.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown made the tackle.
Antonio Brown made the great tackle.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought you liked that play.
I didn't enjoy that we were totally taken by surprise, but I did enjoy that Antonio Brown appeared to be the assigned spy for the punter that might take off running, and Antonio Brown was able to cover the punter from his receiving punt position, and, you know, run up 40 yards and tackle him before the line of scrimmage.
Right.
For the first down marker.
Well, I think what Mike is asking you here is
the first down marker.
Right? I think what Mike is asking you here is does this make Antonio Brown now the favorite to become your two-time Steelers MVP?
Well, he wasn't Steelers MVP. He was MVP of the offense last year.
Oh,
the overall MVP was Pouncey
last
year.
That's true.
Okay, which is what it should have been for all three of us. Had two of us not copped out and not even picked a player.
What do we do? Pick Tomlin.
Who picked Tomlin? What kind of? He can't be the MVP.
Hey, Tomlin.
He's the coach.
Tomlin may win two in a row. I've already decided on my. Is it bad to have already decided? Like,
yes, it is.
Who your MVP is?
Well, because Joe's MVP was based on two catches in the playoffs.
The playoffs, yeah, I know.
That's not true.
I mean, how could you? You couldn't have based it on anything else. All right, here's a couple of Pro Bowl snubs.
Are you going to tell me that wasn't a scoop? Did I not tell you what the future held for that guy? Antonio Brown has been the player.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was not a bad and say yeah.
Look. But if you think, and I'll tell you right now, Antonio Brown is not my MVP this year.
So who are you getting at on the defense? I thought, or like someone was overlooked. Who did I miss?
Okay, so offensively, here's who you missed offensively. Who I think, I don't know, you know, Pro Bowl's tough, but I think he had a great year, and I would have put him in. Heath Miller.
Yeah.
I think Heath Miller had a great year. A great year.
I mean, he had a good year for – I don't know about even for him. I'd have to look at his stats because he's had some good years previously. But when you compare him to the other tight ends in the league, it's hard for him to keep
up. But Gates missed like half the year and he made it.
Oh, he did make it? Yeah, that's crappy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Who were the other tight ends? Gronkowski and who else?
Gronkowski made it and Gates made it. Those are the only two.
They only take two, okay.
Yeah. Heath Miller had 50 catches for 600 yards so far. Not a lot of touchdowns. That's his problem.
Yeah.
And I think defensively, obviously you said Ike Taylor should have made it. And it's ridiculous that Ike Taylor doesn't make a Pro Bowl. This is the best secondary in football, right? And the one guy who makes it is Troy Polamalu, who I think we can all agree on is the guy who took the biggest step backwards of anyone in that secondary this year. And in a year where so many improved players in that secondary to make it as dominating a secondary as it is, and the one guy, you know, the guy who makes it this
I wouldn't say he took the biggest step backwards.
He took a step, well, he didn't, you know, whereas the other guys are all playing out of their mind, you know, Troy Polamalu has seen better days. He's not playing poorly, and I know whenever I talk about Polamalu, it always sounds like I'm talking about how bad he is. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying relative to his career performance.
You're saying he's just great now.
He's very good. He's a very good player. He's not great.
But Ryan Clark is kind of – Ryan Clark, do you think he had a great year?
No. No, Ryan Clark's like a first alternate to the Pro Bowl, which is so weird. Because he wasn't – I mean, he's okay in pass coverage, but – you know, when it's one-on-one coverage and you need safety help over the top, you know, he can be a liability in those situations.
I think he blew it against the Ravens on that last play with 8 seconds left.
Yeah, him and William Gay can both be blamed for that.
One of them blew it.
Yeah. But I think Brett Kiesel. Brett Kiesel had a great year.
That's a good point. I overlooked him.
And he didn't. Look, the defensive line this year didn't have a great year overall, but, you know, he – he himself had a good year and deserves a Pro Bowl spot. So, you know, Antonio Brown making it as a kick returner, I like that. I would have liked to have seen, you know, Matthew Slater, the New England guy. You know, that's a fine choice, but, you know, Cortez Allen should deserve some recognition. Maybe not a Pro Bowl spot, but he has been as dominating. You can't ask for more from a special team guy than we got out of Cortez Allen this year. Not only on punt returns, although he was dominating on punt returns.
That's Joe's next big discovery, right?
Is he maybe Cortez Allen for MVP?
Oh, that guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What position is he going to play?
He plays corner. Not he's going to play. You can see him out there now. He covers tight ends. Yeah. Okay. Well, he is Tomlin's chosen guy to cover. Even the great Rob Gronkowski, who I believe had, I don't remember what his stats were against us, but I don't think they were great. And it was Cortez Allen who was responsible.
Did he play that game?
Gronkowski?
Yeah. No, did Allen cover him in the game against us?
Against New England, yes.
Basically. Yeah, well, that's good. So that's some foreshadowing for the playoffs, maybe.
Exactly.
This guy, he's what do they call him, a gunner?
Yeah, he's a gunner.
He's a gunner. Gunner. Gunner guy is like, you know, he's like a kamikaze type of guy. He's a thrower. You just send him down there. He's supposed to mess everything up. He ain't supposed to make the tackle. He's supposed to get blown up, right? Somebody's supposed to blow his ass up.
Right.
Okay? You know what happens? They can't – he throws off his block. And the gunner is making a tackle on punt coverage. Come on, man. This dude is outstanding. I don't give a crap about the Pro Bowl. Pick him, don't pick him. I don't care. Pro Bowl is like a freaking half of it's a popularity contest anyway, because they don't know all the damn players, okay? So here's the thing. This dude is an exciting player. I can't wait to see more of him, okay? And I remember from the New England game, now that you're mentioning it, I didn't put it together because I didn't know the guy's name that well yet.
Right.
But this dude on punt coverage, he is a monster. I can't wait to see more of him.
Yeah, and he was great this week as well. That's it. That's it for my Pro Bowl stuff.
Okay. Any other interesting games this weekend?
A lot of interesting games this weekend games that I'm interested in personally. Obviously, you know, the NFC West battle is going to be intriguing.
And that's both at 4 o'clock, so that should be good.
Yeah.
Is the NFC East, I think it is. Is that what it's called now?
The NFC East, yeah.
East. That's the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Redskins.
Right.
And the Giants. That's that division.
Right.
Is that not the most overrated, over talked about garbage division in football? I mean, really and truly, other than maybe the NFC West, isn't that the division, or maybe the AFC West, isn't that the division that has the least deserving teams to go to play? Like, if you were going to go, okay, your division sucks so bad, we're not going to let anybody go to play.
Well, they used to say they were so good they beat each other up, but this year they weren't that good.
They're lucky they play each other.
I think the AFC, you could make an argument that the AFC South turned into that division only because of Schaub's injury. And I don't know that
Two injuries, right? You got
Schaub and Lyon.
Manning.
Manning.
Oh, Manning as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And Hasselbeck, didn't he go out too?
Hasselbeck's been hurt. You know, the Houston
Tennessee.
Andre Johnson.
He is Tennessee.
Yeah. So
Jacksonville. And Jacksonville cut their quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Right. But I think the AFC West is probably the worst division in football. You know, I could see Dallas or New York making a run through the playoffs. Not a long run, but I could see one of those teams sneaking by either the Packers or the Saints and making taking a spot in the NFC title game. I don't see anyone from the AFC West getting further than the first round of the playoffs, because they're going to end up having to face the second place.
But nobody talks about it. Well, I can't.
Well, I mean,
they talk about Denver.
I mean, they talk about Denver, and I think, look, you know, the NFC East is the most storied division in football. You know, between all of those teams have been great at one point or another, which I think is one of the few divisions of football you can say that about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, you know, it's an East Coast team, so it's, you know, it plays right into the media East Coast bias, right? And they're all in big markets. You know, you got Washington, D.C., you got New York, you got Dallas, and you got Philadelphia, right? And, you know, I mean, I understand why that division gets as much publicity as it does. Probably way more than it should, You know, dominates. That's what I'm saying. It dominates pregame shows.
I mean, you got, you're right. You got the big, those three big market East Coast teams. And then you got the freaking most overrated team in all of sports, the Cowboys.
Right.
Who, if they, you take the star off of their helmet, okay, nobody would know who the hell they are because they're just a bunch of, they're like a bunch of nobodies. I mean, that team is like, they're like a 500 team that gets talked about like they're going to back to back Super Bowls as if Roger Staubach was still there. Come on, man. That team has been a nothing team since Barry Switzer left. And really they were on the skid since Jimmy Johnson left and they've never recovered from that. So, I mean, and we're still talking about them 15 years later as if they're some kind of contender for something. They're a contender for nothing. They're contender for the most overrated team in all of sports. That's what they're in contention for. So 15 years.
Let's end this podcast this way. Mike, I'll go to you first on this. Instead of doing a score prediction, I want you to predict what seed will the Steelers end up in the playoffs? 1, 2, or 5?
I'm going to say Jets win, Bengals win, Steelers get 2 seed.
Okay.
And I have another question before you end the podcast. So.
All right.
Now I'm with Mike, 2 seed. I don't know if the Jets win or not, but the Bengals are going to win. Steelers are going to win. That's a 2 seed.
Yeah, I think the smart money is on the 2 seed. You know, there's a chance Buffalo can get by New England just because, you know, they have less to play for. You know, there's only like on, that's only this scenario in which Cincinnati wins and the Steelers win, do they not get the 1 seed? So
the interesting game about that Buffalo New England game is when Buffalo beat New England early in the season, was it a fluke? Or does Buffalo have New England's number? Meaning, did they come up with a way to beat New England?
Tony and I watched that game. We were in a bar for that game, and we talked about it on the podcast. The Bills went down 21-0 at halftime. Came back and won in the second half. There was an interception.
Brady threw 3 interceptions
in the second half, right? Yeah, and there were all these obnoxious Patriots fans at the bar, and they were yelling and screaming through the first half. And then they were quiet, and then they lost. And then they all got up and left, and we saw a couple of them take their jerseys off. It was okay. Terrible. It was one of the
but maybe the Bills defensive coordinator figured out Brady, you know, figured out how to play him, and maybe they're going to pick up right where they left off.
I think the Patriots got a score to settle there, and it's not very likely that Belichick doesn't get his score set. Yeah. Yeah. Belichick and his apprentice.
So it wouldn't surprise you if the Patriots put up 50 in that game.
Right.
That just set the score.
No.
And how about this? And I don't know, Tony, you can look this up. Is there any chance Brady overtakes Breeze, who just passed Dan Marino for the passing record for 1 season?
That is an interesting thought.
Well, he's looking that up. I'll say this.
Because I'll say that Belichick will go for it if he's got a chance at it.
If it's 4th and 2 – in the fourth quarter with a minute and a half to play and the Patriots are up by 6 touchdowns, I say they're going for it.
Based on beating Buffalo or going for
based
that?
Based on they're getting even with Buffalo from earlier this year. Yeah, that was a pretty humiliating loss for the Patriots. They're going to square that up. And, they'll just pull a Sam Weish as well. Be going.
No, Brady is behind by 190 yards.
Oh, that's passable.
190?
Yeah, because this is what happens. Breeze goes in, gets 200 yards first half, and then they rest him.
Oh, they can't rest because they can still get the 2 seed.
When does San Francisco play?
4.
Okay. All right, so let's just say Breeze goes out and gets 250. Brady goes out and gets 450.
Yeah, I mean.
It could happen.
It could happen. I doubt it.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
Okay, here's the question I want to ask you guys.
Oh, no, San Francisco plays at 1. They play together.
Oh, that is at 1. That's right. Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Everybody's supposed to play together.
Your four teams in the division should all play at the same time. Question is, Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Is that for number 1 pick? How many wins does Jacksonville have?
Jacksonville has 4 wins, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I'll check.
So basically, that is still a big game because Indianapolis could get a 3rd win, and that would put who? Minnesota in the driver's seat?
No, Minnesota won. It would put St. Louis.
St. Louis. Interesting.
Oh, and they got Bradford.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they can't.
But if Indy loses, they get first pick. Is that true?
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to let them screw that up. They've been waiting 16 weeks for this moment.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, two-win season, three-win season. Who's going to remember that? You just don't want to be winless. So they took care of that. They could have one win, two wins, three wins. It sucks. It's going to suck forever. It's one of the worst seasons ever. But at least you got luck out of it.
Yeah, but you lost Manny.
And then the season ends. Dallas at the Giants, 8 o'clock game. Winner wins the division.
Yeah,
should be interesting.
That'll be a very. I'm very very excited for that game.
And I said it a couple weeks ago. I think that the Giants, and I don't know if I believe it still, but I think the Giants are a team that could take out the Packers in the playoffs.
Ooh, the Giants.
Well, I expect the Giants.
And they played them well in the regular season.
Yeah. I think the Giants are going to win that game. I've been predicting it for like four. Since the Giants, who did the Giants lose to? When they lost to. When they lost to Tebow. I've been telling my Giants friends, you guys are still going to get in the playoffs because you'll beat Dallas twice.
Wait.
Did they lose to Tebow?
They didn't lose to Tebow.
Yeah, they lost to Tebow.
No.
The Giants didn't lose to Tebow? Who did they lose to? Tebow. The Jets? Maybe they lost to the Jets.
No,
Tebow beat the Jets.
Tebow beat the Jets.
Giants lost like 6 to 7 games though.
Have lost to a lot of teams.
Five to seven.
They lost like the Redskins.
Right. No, it might have been the Redskins.
They lost to the Saints and the Packers back to back.
But yeah, the thing with the Giants is they could beat anybody, but they can't do it like 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's hard for them to be consistent.
They're very inconsistent.
They did beat New England though. So
interesting.
All right. Well, I guess that's gonna do it. We'll be back next week to break down. We'll do the playoff stuff. Hopefully, the Steelers will be playing next week, so we can, you know, we won't take a week off on the podcast by any means. But we'll have the Steelers and I have a nice week to refresh, get ready for a home playoff game. Let's hope. All right, I guess that's going to do it for Steeler Country this week. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com is the email address. The website, steelercountry.net, and the Twitter is twitter.com/steelercountry. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Zune if you have a Windows phone or a Zune media player. We'll see you next week.